So, Paul, clearly in retrospect it was the right move. But what going into that game made Shifley's line the right line to put up against MacKinnon?
Probably experience and speed. We do it. It's more based on speed and size, right? So if there's a bigger, heavier line, we may use Lowry there. If it's a real speed-based line, Shife kind of gets the nod.
How would you describe that line's ability to smother opponents and then be able to counter and be so dangerous like we saw last night?
Well, I think a lot of it actually runs through Mark Shifley. And I thought that was the first game that line kind of really returned to form and that they were really good defensively. But Mark, as the centerman, carries that big weight. We know what Blake does, and we've moved the left wingers around. But as a center iceman, when you play against a skilled line, they're going to get their chances. The centerman becomes a defenseman in the defensive zone. He had two or three real good stops and sticks that knocked things down that were really dangerous seam passes that if they get through, it'd be no different than Patty shooting the puck. They're going to get their chances. So Mark was really good underneath the puck and battling pucks out.
Paul, do you have any update on Dmitry Kulikov?
Yeah, he's out at least a month, and it may be longer than that. That would be the first open window, but probably the next time I'll give you an update will be 4 weeks from now.
Seemed like in that first period yesterday, he was really noticeable.
Isn't that the fact?
All over the ice.
Yeah, I think I'm blaming Munsey on that one. When he asked me about that, about having the two defensemen yesterday rotate, and I said, well, there's always a chance that injury opens the door. But really unfortunate. You know, it's a real challenge for him now. He felt that before his injury last year, that he really liked his game, and it was a long term. This one's tough for him to handle.
Just going to the boards, funny, like the hitters.
Just fell on. Yeah, it wasn't his upper body.
Would you look at bringing up some reinforcements?
Yeah, we're going to have to bring up one anyway. We've got Lemieux coming off suspension after tomorrow's game, but we're going to need a defenseman.
Are you leaning to who that might be?
Yeah, I only lean. I don't make the call, so.
Tucker?
No, I'm not leaning toward anybody yet.
Sure.
We got a game today. Yesterday's the last game they played. They play again tonight, so bring up the guy that's going, probably.
I think we've probably asked you this before, but if you look at all the numbers over the last 8 years, Blake Wheeler is right up there with the best right-hand shots in the league. Big names like Claude Giroux, Nikita Kucherov, those types of guys. But he doesn't maybe garner the same sort of, respect across the league as those guys might.
I don't have an answer for you on that. You know, I know that other coaches do. So when you're at the coaches' meetings in the summer or you have colleagues that you talk to, especially guys after you play, my God, Blake Wheeler's a dominant man out there, and they really see it. Probably because he didn't have a 50-goal season at 21 or 22 that brought the spotlight to him. He really built his game over years to, maybe in kind of a way that Mark Shifley did it early on the first two or three. He didn't, explode in his first few years, so that there's always very exciting young players that come in and put up numbers that are designated superstars from a young age, which makes it even more impressive. I think Blake has built this, right? He's built his body to a machine that can drive very, very as hard as anybody I've ever coached. And all of that has led to the skills, I think, that he always possessed coming out.
Well, that was Maine's ability to become less of a static player on the power play, taking not only his part of that power play, but your power play as a whole to the next level.
Just learning curve. The National Hockey League penalty kill is very strong. I think when you're younger and you're playing amateur hockey, you can stand in one spot, and if you get the puck in the right hole, you're going to beat goaltenders. But we have different styles of penalty kill almost nightly. Last night was a real top-down pressure, right? So they're trying to be really aggressive on Blake. And you'd see that Patty was moving. When he's skating backwards down to the hole before he shoots that puck, a real smart offensive guy. To be a shooter like that, you have to learn how to find your hole. But here, it's in a couple of years, he's figured out when to be high. He was very high early. He sat really high in that hole and didn't move it. And now he's got a comfort level of kind of having a much bigger range on that side of the ice. He'll get down right down to the goal line if he needs to.
Can you remember the moment when you always talk about best practices? I mean, when you thought it would work running the power play with Blake in that Nick Backstrom spot, for lack of a better term?
And just looking at statistics, you know, why not put your best passer in the passer's position? So some of it was what had come in vogue. I mean, back in 2008 and 2009, you had Zetterberg and Datsyuk running downhill on their natural sides. We started to see that more around the league. The half-wall player for us. You know what? I think in a lot of ways, Patty Laine may have forced us to do that because he needed to be in that hole. He couldn't be anywhere else, right? That's the right spot for Patty, which means the power play has to get worked on the other side of the ice, which would tell you that in the old model, that would be all left-handed shots. And while we've got good left-handed shots, our best point producers are righties, right? You've got Scheif and you've got Blake Wheeler, the guys that can make those plays. So it was going to be one of those two guys running downhill. And Mark is so good at finding that hole in the slot as a shooter, and the same idea, changing his body angle to get the shot.
Was Blake, it's obviously worked out. Was he pretty open to that right away?
It was fine. I mean, he I think because he's got a confidence in that. He believes that that's a, you know, like offensively the best part of his game, so he was quite open to it. It wasn't a hard sell. The other idea was those four righties that run it up top could be interchangeable, that we could have motion in there, and if we were moving pieces around, it would be pretty seamless.
How's Kyle Connor's ability to get like side to side in that low position? So how's he evolving in that spot?
That's important. But it's not the real reason that he starts there instead of maybe another left-handed shot, his puck recoveries. So when the puck goes to the corners now, he's learned that sprint to get on it. He's recovered an awful lot of pucks. It's almost, you know, he's made some good plays fade into the back door, but so is Matty Perreault can do that, Nicky Ehlers, all those guys can do it. They've all got good shots. They're good skilled players. But where Kyle has excelled with that unit is on a shot from any angle that goes to the corner, he's on top of it.
Nikolai talked about kind of how fun it is, but how important is that 2-on-2 that you do at the end of practice, seemingly the last week or so, in terms of what you guys want to be good at?
We want to see the increase of a grind in our game, a defensive grind. So our practices, though, we're not going to grind them every day to allow them to grind in the games. We think after the first period of, and we had periods of it prior, but after the first period of the game in Detroit, I think we've been pretty good. All the Helsinki games are aberrations. They're unusual to judge, but I thought in Toronto that our grind is there. So we want to come up with some things that that can be offensive with a bit of body contact that aren't your standard 5-on-5 D-zone coverages. But that and so much, those small area games, that tight 2-on-2 is really where the game is played now. Everybody's D-zone coverage collapses heavy in the corners. There's not much room to go. And, you know, if each guy threw in $5 in a game, it would be on, right? Like, it's just pride or who has to skate two laps. When there's anything on the line, it drives it up. They can have a little bit of fun with it. It's, you know, it's the best part of it. I liked our practice today. I mean, we had great pace and we were driving, but that was the best part of it.
Paul, just for tomorrow, you'll see your goaltending plan. Is it Hellebuck again?
Yeah, Connor's going tomorrow.
And then just sort of one more on Dimitri, but is part of that month possibly longer? Is it surgery an option?
No, he's just got to heal.
Okay.